Good afternoon. We'll call to order the House Committee on Redistricting.
Good afternoon. I'm opening the Senate Committee on Redistricting.
I want to welcome all of you to the joint hearing of the House and Senate Committees on Redistricting. We want to thank Portland State University for hosting us today. Before we start, I'd like to invite members of both committees to introduce themselves. Starting to my right, where he usually resides, is Representative Cameron.
Oh, okay. Representative Kevin Cameron, I represent South Salem, Rural, East Salem, Almsville, and Turner. It's great to be here today.
Tobias Reed, represent District 27, which is mostly Beaverton, some unincorporated Washington and Multnomah counties. Thanks for hosting us.
And my name is Representative Sean Lindsay. I represent Hillsborough and North Plains. And I'm looking at my office where I used to work, literally. I used to look at this building all the time. It's weird. Sorry.
Chris Garrett, I represent District 38, which includes Lake Oswego and parts of southwest Portland, south of here, nearly the John's Landing neighborhood and south of Lake Oswego.
I'm Senator Suzanne Bonamici. I represent Senate District 17, which is in both Washington and Multnomah counties, about two-thirds in Washington County, and then northwest Portland is my Multnomah County part of the district. Thank you, PSU, for hosting us this afternoon.
I'm Senator Chris Telfer from District 27, which we normally pride ourselves in saying is sunny Central Oregon, but I don't think it can compete with this today. So glad to be here.
All right, thank you. And we have a couple other legislators who are joining us for today's hearing. So, Senators, would you introduce yourselves, please?
Great, thank you. And I'm Senator Diane Rosenbaum. My district that I currently represent is in southeast and northeast Portland, and so that's in Multnomah County. And then well in Clackamas County, it also includes Milwaukee.
Very good.
And I'm Senator Ginny Burdick, and I represent Portland State University and the people of southwest Portland and Tigard and King City.
All right, and I understand we may be joined by Senator Jackie Dingfelder and Senator Larry George, and if they are able to make it, we'll certainly make room for them at the table. I want to start by inviting our gracious host, President Vim Vivelle, up to the table to give some introductory remarks. And Mr. President, please kick us off.
Thank you very much, and I'm particularly pleased to be here because Representative Garrett is my representative for where I live in the Dunthorpe area, so very glad to be here. And of course, Senator Burdick, who represents the senator where Portland State is located, not that everybody else at this table is experienced for it also. But I should really make a correction that it's very kind of you to call me the host, but technically speaking, it's actually the chancellor's office of the Oregon University Systems that is the host, because this is his space. He's paid for it, fair and clear. And I'll come back to that in a minute about because this building, I think, is an interesting story. You all don't need to be told how important the work that you're doing is, but I've certainly been reminded of that spending some time down in Salem last few weeks, especially when you have a house that has a 30-30 balance, thinking about what happened in at the federal with Congress and seeing the kind of sea change that an election can make in what gets done there and can get done there. So we all know that the work you do that helps us ultimately elect our legislature is just so important. I'm also proud of the fact that our Population Research Center, housed here at Portland State, plays a role in helping prepare the data. I want to disclaim any responsibility for any of it. They're doing the work, and I trust and I hope they're doing great work. As I mentioned, this building, and I want to just take 30 seconds, if I may, because it is such an example of both the challenges of universities and the challenges of this state. This is called the Academic Student and Recreation Center. It started really as a building with some urban renewal money that helped us get this started. Ultimately, it was a $71 million building that was just opened a year and a half ago, and it's very much a partnership between many partners. The biggest single part are the student fees. The students voted to tax themselves to be able to have a good, high-quality recreation center on campus. So that paid, ultimately, you know, it will be paid off over time with bonds, but $34 million of that $71 million cost. Then the city archives are located here. In fact, the main part of the archives are located in the basement, which makes it the only city archives in the world located underneath a swimming pool, which I think is a very signals a very great city archives. And that came up with $12 million of the funding. State bonding, direct funds, paid for $10 million for the classroom space that is in here, because there are classrooms in here as well. Then TIF money and Portland Development Commission money paid for $5 million to make the project possible. Taxable bonds are $7 million, and that we're repaying with the revenue from the retail that's on the ground floor. And then the Chancellor's Office in Oregon University System paid $4 million for this space and some other assorted spaces. On the one hand, it's an accomplishment or an achievement that was pretty much all done before I came here, so I'm very proud of it, but I can't really claim any credit. Many people who worked on making it happen. On the other hand, I think it is sort of a story of how complicated it is to develop space and help our campuses grow. And, of course, that's something that we want to do and must do in order to meet the 40-40-20 goals of the state. And we remain very committed in doing that, and we appreciate all of the support that you as legislators have given us, continue to give us, as we try to achieve that very important goal for the state. So welcome very much to our campus, to this space, and the sun always shines.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. And I do want to acknowledge that the PRC has been a tremendous resource. Both the House and Senate committees have been receiving information about redistricting for the past year and a half to prepare for this process, and members of the PRC have been present numerous times to help counsel us through that. So thank you for that. Are there questions for the President?
Mr. Chair, Mr. President, can we have class outside?
Definitely, but I want you all to concentrate.
thank you very much. So we'll proceed to begin calling witnesses. Let me explain a little bit about what we're doing today. This is the seventh road hearing that these committees have held jointly. We've been in Eastern Oregon, we've been in Southern Oregon, and earlier today we were in Washington County. The purpose of these hearings is to hear from you, members of the community, about how you think lines should be drawn for both State House, State Senate, and congressional districts. We do this every 10 years following the release of new federal census data. State law directs us, in addition to equalizing districts by population, to, as much as is practicable, follow city and county lines, other jurisdictional lines, and also to observe and keep intact communities of interest. That term is not defined in the law, and so we have found that a lot of people have very different ideas about what that term means to them, and that's really why we're here today, is to find out what it means to you. And, of course, today's hearing will be concentrating mostly on the Portland area. So with that, I'd like to invite the first panel forward, and that will be June Schumann, Julia Markley, and William Chin. Oh, let me also explain our time limitations. To make sure we have time for everybody, we're going to limit testimony to 3 minutes each. You'll see do we have the light?
Flash.
There'll be a flashing light at the 1 minute, at the 1 minute mark. So that is your warning to begin planning on how to wrap up your testimony. So in any order you would like, you can begin.
I'll start. Chairs and members of the redistricting committee, my name is June Arima Schumann, and I am the board co-chair for the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. APANO is a statewide civic engagement and policy advocacy organization. Our mission is to advance the welfare and concerns of the Asian and Pacific Islander communities in Oregon. I am a Japanese American, and I have lived in the Alameda neighborhood for a little over 26 years. I would like to provide an overview of the Asian and Pacific Islander communities of Oregon and ask that you meaningfully engage our communities in your redistricting process. The API community identifies with over 50 race and ethnicities from Asia and Pacific Islands and over 300 languages. We number over 150,000, or 4% of the population in Oregon. We are the second fastest growing segment of the population in Oregon. The 2010 census shows that the Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander community alone grew by 68%, and the Asian community grew by 40%, an increase of 44,000 since 2000. And a panel member, David Tam, president of the Chinese American Benevolent Association of Eugene Springfield, recently spoke to the Oregonian, highlighting how Oregon's green economy and technologies such as solar power are drawing Chinese and Korean immigrants. Oregon's high-tech industry has brought Indian immigrants, and the many Vietnamese who settled here have attracted others. While much of the growth has been concentrated in Washington County and Beaverton in particular, our communities reside across the Portland Tri-County area and in increasingly across the state. In order by population size, Multnomah County still ranks first with 52,000. Washington County with 48,000, in Clackamas County at approximately 14,500, Lane and Marion counties at 9,000 and 8,000 respectively. The highest concentration of our communities are in Beaverton, Hillsborough, Rock Creek area, East Portland, Gresham, Northwest Clackamas, and Eugene areas. Recently, the Burmese and Bhutanese population has become the largest refugee community in Oregon, settling primarily in East Multnomah County and Western Beaverton. The API population is also growing in the counties of Lynn, Polk, Yamhill, and Jackson. We urge you to consider the race and the Asian and Pacific Islander communities in an appropriate way in Oregon's redistricting process, given the deep disparity of political representation among minority communities and the evidence that you will hear from a variety of Asian and Pacific Islander community members. We ask you to consider us a community of interest and to seriously examine the creation of more minority opportunity districts. Race has always been a factor in redistricting, and the law permits the process to be race conscious. I encourage you to give race proper consideration in your process. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I noticed that you have copies of your testimony. Yes. And I forgot to say that for anybody who's bringing written testimony, if you would please distribute that to Erin Seiler, who has her hand raised on the side, that will ensure that your testimony gets into the record and to members of the committee. So, Ms. Markley.
Chairman Garrett, Chairwoman Bonamici, and members of the redistricting committee, thank you for your leadership and the honor to testify before you today. My name is Julia Markley. I live in Hillsdale, Multnomah Village area, and I'm here on behalf of APANO, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. I work as a business litigation attorney at Perkins Coie, and I'm here to describe the Filipino American and Asian American communities in Oregon and to encourage you to consider race as a consideration in your redistricting work. First, the Filipino American community. Filipino Americans are the third largest Asian group in Oregon behind Chinese Americans and Vietnamese Americans. According to the 2010 census data, there are 12,993 Filipino Americans in Oregon. Like all the Asian ethnic groups, the Filipino American population in Oregon has grown since the 2000 census. Filipino Americans are a community of interest. We socialize together. We belong to Filipino-specific organizations, meeting at places like the PhilAM Association building on Southeast 92nd and Stark. We attend church together. We work together. For example, a lot of Filipino nurses in our hospitals. in the Portland area, many of us lived in outer southeast Portland around southeast 82nd, southeast 122nd, and then there is also community in the western suburbs like Beaverton, Tigard, Alloa. Filipino Americans have many things in common with Asian Americans and consider our fellow Asian ethnic groups part of our community. At the grassroots level, some of us are immigrants, and we teach and support each other in programs for new immigrants, such as English language classes. Many of us are professionals and have formed pan-Asian interest groups, such as the Oregon Asian Pacific American Bar Association, of which I am a founding president, And culturally, a lot of our traditional foods are similar, and we buy them at places like Anzen on Southeast MLK or Uwajamaya in Beaverton. The Asian American community comes together at events like the Asian Cultural Night at ERCO in Southeast Portland, and Pan-Asian organizations like APANO, on whose behalf I'm here today, and the Oregon Asian Pacific American Bar Association are a voice for our community in Oregon. The governor has recognized our community as a community of interest, and through the Governor's Commission on Asian Affairs, works to enhance the social, economic, and educational opportunities for Asian Americans in Oregon. In conclusion, this committee is empowered to create for Asian Americans a political opportunity, the opportunity to elect a candidate of their choice. I encourage you to consider Asian Americans as a community of interest in drawing the next, as appropriate, in drawing the next redistricting plan.
Okay, thank you. And before Mr. Chin goes, I want to let Senator Starr introduce himself, please. He just got here.
Yeah, I'm Senator Bruce Starr. I represent Western Washington County, Senate District 15.
Okay, and Mr. Chin, and then we'll take questions for the panel.
Thank you, chairs and vice chairs and other committee members. I'm Bill Chin. I teach legal analysis and writing at Lewis and Clark Law School. I also teach race and law. It's a pleasure to be here. Currently, I live in Tigard, but before that, I used to live in Southeast Portland for decades. My family still lives there. And I just want to discuss two items very briefly. First is regarding community of interest. I just want to note for the committee members that there is a Tenth Circuit case, U.S. versus Chenault, that does say Asians are a distinctive group. That's the court's language, distinctive. And that's not addressed to redistricting, but it does talk about these groups, these minority ethnic groups, in terms of the Sixth Amendment and jury selection. And so that issue could be analogous to redistricting, although not identical. On the second issue, I just want to also affirm what others have said about redistricting so as to not dilute the voting abilities of Asian Americans. And redistricting in a way that dilutes the voting abilities of Asian Americans could hurt Asian Americans in the following way: by denying them the ability to have the right of one person, one vote. Second, by once again ensuring that the Asian American community is silenced as they were generations ago when they could not vote. Third, by diluting the votes of Asian Americans, specific issues are then unable to be addressed by the Asian American communities. For example, equal access to needed public health services. There are distinctive public health issues, as research indicates, associated with distinct minority groups. Another issue that might be difficult for Asian Americans to bring up is ESL issues, English as a second language issues, translation interpreter issues. Those are very big issues in the Asian American community, for example, or for healthcare providers, for regulatory agencies, having translation and interpreter services are quite critical. But if the Asian American voters' votes are diluted, it's hard for those issues to become known to those in power. Also, Asian Americans have unique issues relating to small business and small business startups and small business ownership. For example, Asian Americans might own small business restaurants. Not that all Asian Americans own small business restaurants, but those are an example of specific issues where Asian Americans might have a particular concern and need to voice that concern. And so their votes need to be taken into consideration. And last point, access to educational opportunities. Asian Americans care a lot about educational opportunities, like many others. But that is a specific issue where Asian Americans, if they have the proper vote, and that vote is not diluted, then that issue could be heard. Thanks again, everyone, and appreciate this opportunity to talk with all of you.
All right, thank you. And questions for the panel? Senator Bonamici. And do we want to...
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Schuman, you're welcome to come back. There may be questions for you as part of the first group. I should have invited you to stay.
I want to ask Julia, you talked about the Filipino-American communities of the people socialize together, belong to associations, attend church, but the legislative districts need to be contiguous. So you talked about a couple of neighborhoods. I wonder if you could tell us in the committee, where are the neighborhoods? You mentioned West Suburbs and Southeast 82nd. Are there particular neighborhoods that have a higher population of Filipino-Americans?
I would term it more in the areas, as Ms. Schuman talked about, and she has a little bit more specific data on Asian Americans particularly. Asian Americans in the probably northeast, southeast, 75th on out eastwards, and then a sort of different neighborhood of community more on the in the western side. And a lot of the, I'm more familiar, actually, even though I live on the west side, I'm more familiar with the eastern communities because that's where I grew up and went to school and formed a lot of family ties with the Filipino American community and organizations more on the east side.
Thank you.
Further questions? Senator Burdick.
If I could, thank you, since I have two constituents that I know of up here on the panel. I was curious as to follow up on what Senator Bonamici asked, and particularly to the west side, where since that is the area I represent, you know, where on the west side that you feel it's important to keep contiguous communities?
Well, I think the for the Asian Pacific Islander communities in general, Beaverton area has the highest concentration of Asian Pacific Islanders. Tigard will be another area, Westland in that direction. And then I think we might be looking towards further west towards Hillsboro for another area. So other, that would be the west side. On the east side, it would be East Multnomah County, southeast and northeast Portland.
Okay, and for the record, that was Ms. Schuman. And as witnesses answer questions, it's important to have you re-identify yourself for the record so that our transcript is clear. Thank you. Are there further questions? Co-Chair Lindsay.
Thank you, Chair. Professor Chen, thank you for your testimony. It's my understanding there's a good Asian Pacific population in Portland Central, correct?
Yes.
Would dividing, you talked about dilution, would divert dividing Portland, say, in three separate ways, would that dilute, in your opinion, the Asian Pacific population?
Yeah. The specifics might become very complicated. It might appear so.
Professor, can you identify
yourself? Yes, Bill Chin, once again, C-H-I-N. And your question asks, separating a group into three parts, could that dilute the vote? In general, yes, but in terms of specifics, one would also have to include the various groups, how many people are in each group, the three-part tripartite division would result in how many individuals in one group versus the other two groups. So it becomes very complicated. In general, possibly, and yet I think there are other considerations also. I And so, in theory, possibly, and yet that is not the only consideration, the tripartite division. There are a lot of other factors.
Okay, thank you three very much.
Thank you.
We will now call, I'm afraid I'm going to not pronounce this name correctly. Is it Madhuri Kasaroki?
Yes.
Okay. Jessica Lee and Carl Twombly. So Ms. Kasaroki.
Hello, Chair and members of Redistricting Committee. I am Madhurika Sarohi, and I hail from India and currently live in Beaverton in Washington County, where I have lived for over a decade. I represent Savera. I pronounce it Savera, but it's spelled Savera, the South Asian Women's Empowerment and Resource Alliance. Savera offers free, confidential, and culturally sensitive services to South Asian women and children who are experiencing domestic violence in Oregon. South Asia comprises of countries like India, Pakistan, Nepal, Bhutan, Burma, Maldives, and Fiji. According to the year 2000 census, we have about 10,000 South Asians in Oregon, most of whom reside in Washington County and Multnomah County. The South Asian community is mostly concentrated in Washington and Multnomah County because of the high concentration of tech companies. Because of our community is concentrated mainly in Washington and Multnomah County, these counties have become our second home. We are a close-knit community where almost everyone knows everyone. We are a group of highly educated and highly skilled workers who work mostly for high-tech companies. We are friendly, fun-loving immigrants who like to dance and sing, and amidst all our hard work, we find time to host a variety of events where we get a chance to have fun, mingle with other Asians and mainstream population, and at the same time create awareness regarding some of the issues our community faces. Like other communities of Oregon, our community too faces its own specific challenges and issues. One such issue is not getting recognition as a big and important community of Oregon. We are trying to fix that ourselves by engaging more and more of our community in civic issues, but this recognition is not a goal that we can achieve alone. Our voices need to be properly represented, and that will only happen if the redistricting community preserves the wholeness of our community. Please consider the South Asian community as well as all Asian and Pacific Islander communities across Oregon during the redistricting process. We are a growing community that needs your help if we are to be heard and thrive. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, senators and representatives and committee members. And my name is Carl Twombly. I'm testifying on behalf of myself, not on any group. I'm also on the City Club's redistricting research group. So this is an opportunity for me to learn about the process and make a couple recommendations on my own community and on the process in general. I live in the Castle Oaks development off 131st Southwest 131st. I'm surrounded on three sides by King City, but I'm in unincorporated Washington County, and I have a couple of what look like gerrymandered areas, and I submitted some testimony along with some attachments that show some maps. There's a wedge of House District 26 that comes into what is a park in the Edgewater on the Tualatin development. That park is part of the development. That's normally part of House District 37. And this wedge has no homes, but it encompasses that park down to the Tualatin River. So I would recommend that be part of House 37 and also Senate 19. Both the House Senate districts are nested, so in this area, those boundaries are exactly the same. Also, there is a little flag lot that comes down from House District 35 along Versailles, Southwest Versailles Lane, and that encompasses no more than the width of the road and then a few homes along around a pond. I would recommend that that also be part of 37. And in my general recommendations, I would like to suggest that compactness be a criteria. I know that it's not in 188 Oregon Revised Statutes yet, but I would hope that compactness be taken into account, and you could measure the area of the proposed district divided by the area of a circle with equal circumference as a measure of objective measure of compactness. So those two gerrymandered areas, and then the recommendation on the process overall. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Well, good afternoon, Chair and members of the Redistricting Committee. My name is Jessica Lee, Research Analyst for the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, or APANO. And I'm here actually representing the Oregon Communities of Color Redistricting Coalition, which is made up of APANO, the Urban League, and CALSA. So I would like to tell you a little bit about why redistricting matters to our communities of color and how it relates to our civic engagement. So first of all, our communities have overcome historic racial discrimination and exclusion to become a more integrated, consistent part of Oregon's civic life. APANO is part of several new nonpartisan statewide efforts with a range of Asian Pacific Islander organizations, I'm going to call them API from here on, and other communities of color organizations to ensure that our communities are registered to vote, educated about the elections, and protecting our community's right to vote. So we have seen this progress with voter participation increasing from 50% in 2004 to 60% in 2008 general elections in the Asian community, for example, this is what happened. For Asian Pacific Americans, we increasingly identify and integrate into multiracial neighborhoods. Our community-based organizations, churches, and businesses have increasingly established formal ties with other minority communities, leading to a high level of cohesion, sense of community, shared interests, needs, and leadership. These relationships are highlighted in the economic sector by the joint efforts of the Minority Chambers of Commerce, in health through the People of Color Health Equity Collaborative, or COCHEC, in social service through the Coalition of Communities of Color, in education through the Coalition for Educational Excellence, and in civic engagement with the Oregon Communities of Color Redistricting Coalition. The City of Portland's Diversity and Civic Leadership Program serves as a local governmental initiative that recognizes the shared interests of minority communities and develops the capacity of communities through a range of leadership development programs and multiracial initiatives. Everyone deserves representation, which is why the census counts every person. In Oregon, the 2010 census found that people of color have grown to represent more than 20% of the voting population, up from less than 10% in 2000. Yet fewer than 5% of Oregon's legislators are people of color. As the committee goes through the redistricting process, we'd like to urge that you ensure equality by considering the following three principles. The first one being that redistricting should guarantee effective representation and electoral opportunities for Oregon's communities of color. The second being that Oregon's changing population puts race at the forefront of determining factors in the redistricting debate. This is both legal and vital to the future of the state. The third principle being that districts should be determined by careful consideration of all redistricting criteria. Irregular boundaries may be appropriate to preserve communities of interest. Race plays an increasingly important role in the daily life of Oregon, but we don't see this represented in the halls of the state capitol. Given the deep disparities in political representation of minority communities in Oregon, it is even more important to prioritize the creation of a majority-minority district or a minority-opportunity district. It is legal to factor race into redistricting. Now more than ever, factoring race and communities of color into redistricting is critical to the issue of economic growth in Oregon. I urge you to deeply consider this information that our communities have presented today as you move forward in the redistricting process. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have a question, yeah. And then we'll go to Co-Chair Lindsay. You're right that we are allowed, we're not only allowed to be race conscious, we are actually required by law not to dilute the voting strength of minority groups. And in at least a couple of our existing House districts, the district that includes Woodburn and part of Salem and the district out in Hillsborough 29, we now have very significant Latino populations. And as we look at redrawing the lines, we will have to be very careful not to dilute the strength of those groups. So can you help us understand some specific parts of the region where we have enough of a concentration of minority Asians and African Americans that we should also look at creating minority opportunity districts there?
I know specifically I live in East Portland.
I need your name, please.
Oh, Jessica, sorry.
Thank
Jessica
you.
Lee. I live in the East Portland area, southeast, around 82nd, 122nd. There's a very heavy concentration of the Asian Pacific Islander community. And I know the Pacific Islander community is specifically growing in the Marion counties in the Salem area. And I also know that Beaverton area, the Beaverton, Hillsborough, Loa areas have a very high concentration also of Asian Americans. As Ms. Markley had said earlier, also, you know, the Beaverton, Aloha areas, and actually in Tigard as well. And there's also a fair number of our APAC community members in Southwest Portland. So mostly in the Portland metro area is what we're looking at.
Okay, thank you. Other questions for the panel? Co-Chair Lindsay, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And actually, you asked the question I was going to ask, but it led to a follow-up for Ms. Lee. I'm wondering, where do you get that data? Because that's what I'd like to see. I think the committee would like to see that to make sure that we don't do anything unintentionally. Is there some sort of database or system where we can get that data besides census data? That's the first question. I'll have a follow-up with Mr. Twombly as well. But
well, besides the census data, which is, as we know, where the numbers are, the Coalition on Communities of Color actually came out with a report called the Unsettling Profile. That is actually a PSU-based report. Also, I believe Professor Ann Curry Stevens led the research. She's done some very extensive field-based research on where the communities are. The Communities of Color report, it's called the Unsettling Profile. It's a profile of mostly Multnomah County. You will see where the high concentrations of the Asian American population, the immigrants and refugee populations are settling, also on the African American communities and Latino communities as well.
And the follow-up to Mr. Twombly was, I hadn't seen this before, so thank you.
Oh, sure.
That's quite telling. Do you have any history, or do you know why that was done?
I have no idea. There's no houses in there that I can see. I don't know why it would have benefited anyone for doing a little carve out like that. It's barely contiguous. Perhaps the city boundaries of King City, but that's part of the park. When they expanded King City, they annexed the Edgewater on the Tualatin, and that's part of the development. So I'm not sure why that would have been done. It didn't benefit anyone. It's just a park.
For the record, that was Mr. Twombly. And Mr. Twombly, just so you know, mistakes do happen. We heard testimony this morning from a gentleman whose tax lot was divided by a house boundary in Washington County, and as a result, he was disqualified from running for office because his house was on the wrong part of his lot.
I heard about that. So, Dry Creek Bread.
We will definitely try to make sure that
happens. Voted for 20 years in that.
So, Senator Bonamici.
Thank you. I also want to say that I believe we've passed legislation to have a closer look at that type of situation where somebody files for office and they live near the edge of a tax lot. And I believe Senator Rosenbaum knows about that, serving on the Rules Committee. I wanted to mention, I did this morning as well, there was a column in the paper today from Common Cause and League of Women Voters that talks about how sometimes when you look at the shape of a district, it might look unusual, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's inappropriately drawn. Because to keep communities of interest together and to balance the population, sometimes it might not look like a compact square or circle or oval, and it might be an unusual shape. And we heard during our committee hearings in Salem, we had some testimony from Professor Justin Levitt, who wrote the Citizen's Guide for Redistricting. And we had some examples that we looked at. So just because it looks unusual doesn't mean necessarily it's inappropriately drawn, and I just wanted to point that out.
The
challenges of balancing the population and keeping together communities of interest.
This is Carl again. I think with that flag lot, that may have been drawn because the city of King City extended into that area. And the maps actually show a difference between the Senate district and the House district, but I think they're intended to be exactly the same in that area. I'm not sure if they could, on the Washington County side, have the maps at a greater magnification. That would help to show exactly where the boundaries are.
Further questions? Okay, thank you, panel.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Our next group will be Janice Deisinger, Kay Bridges, and Maxine Walker.
I'm a resident of Multnomah County for 20 years. Thank you for letting me come today. Thank you, both co-chairs, Lindsay and Garrett, and Bonamici.
You hear?
Bonamici, I'm so sorry.
Is her microphone on? Can everybody hear her?
I couldn't hear the last person that spoke.
I think we're having a problem with this microphone. Maybe you could borrow one of the other microphones and try that.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Well, again, thank you for letting me come today and voice my opinion. And I thank all the co-chairs and the vice co-chairs and the rest of the committee members, I guess. I have been a resident of Multnomah County for 20 years. I have a small organic rose nursery out in East County. I couldn't attend the one you're having tomorrow, so I came today. You're having it in Multnomah. Community College. My little nursery is called LifeRoses.com, and it's part of a much more rural setting out in East County. And I'm just dragging onto that little nursery right now. I'd like this committee to just really consider the division of various boundaries for the district team to please respect the role of the building and the nature of those districts. Placing two or three of these different kind of communities in a single district is opposite of the interest of ORS 188-010. To keep these communities of common interest. The citizens of these different areas are really diverse. Rural farming and natural resource areas have a much different lifestyle than folks in Old Town or both Portland and the Pearl District. And the lots of busy suburban families are another group that are in between, but probably have a more common interest with the farming communities. I don't see any reason to combine the rural and farming areas with the downtown populations other than to just dilute the voting strength of the farmers. And I think that has been done for partisan reasons. I think you have a real opportunity right now to change that. And I look at the downtown, speak from my heart here, I look at the downtown area and I see it looks like a piece of pie. And it's been divided so that the areas, if I just look on here on the congressional district, three, where I live over here, you can see on the east side there, the little beige area, it goes right into the downtown. And if you see the other two congressional districts, they needed the center there too. And if there could be, maybe you might consider having a congressional district that surrounds the downtown Portland area. The people in that area have a much more interested, have a lot more interest in common because of their the lifestyle of living in a large city, and as opposed to farming and the surrounding areas. So I would just really ask you to consider that the downtown, I believe the population of Portland is 500 residents, and that's under the 500,000 residences, and that's under the 766 of the target congressional district. And so it would seem to be more reasonable to keep that downtown area intact rather than just bringing points of interest into that community. So that,
can you try and wrap up your testimony, please? We're at the end of 3 minutes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Just that those, I think that the congressional district is being influenced. Three congressional districts are being influenced, and it should only be one in the downtown Portland. And I thank you for listening to my testimony, and I'd ask you to also consider bringing in an independent commission to cover, to do the districting in the future. If you could change the statute to do that, I think it would keep it bipartisan. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Kay Bridges, and the gentleman that used this microphone last, I couldn't quite catch his name, but I have quite a few instances like that because I used to work for the title companies. And I didn't even include that in my testimony here because I knew there wouldn't be enough time. But there's a lot of little things like that that he talked about throughout the area because I've walked the areas. And my name is Kay Bridges, and I moved from Washington County to Multnomah County in August of 2010. I currently live in the Johns Landing area on Corbett Avenue, and I'm a floral consultant after owning a floral business for 25 years, and I'm also an independent Nikon wellness consultant of 10 years. While owning my flower shop, I was responsible for deliveries from Forest Grove to Gresham, from Wilsonville to Northwest Portland, and everywhere in between. At one point, we delivered over 700 individuals with 12 drivers each Monday, and I personally drove each of those routes first and drove those routes in absence of a driver. At one point, I had a second location at Lloyd Center. That all gives me a broad perspective to the growth patterns, community areas, and transportation issues between the communities. It is the intent of ORS 188.1010 that the legislature, as a true representative, be responsible for redistricting of congressional and legislative districts every 10 years. It can be a daunting task as the population grows and shifts. It's imperative that facts, not politics, prevail in this function. The district should represent communities of common interest, and these communities must not be divided. The district should be connected by major transportation links.
Ms. Bridges, we have your written testimony, and I just want to make sure you have time. I'm afraid you won't get all the way to the end in 3 minutes.
Well, I can talk pretty fast.
Okay.
The portion of Congressional District 5 where I live is a very long, narrow strip from Clackamas County line up along the Willamette River to the Ross Island Bridge. Though it geographically appears on a map to be a community of its own, the fact that the new high-rise condominiums are in this strip is its single precinct means that the greater portion of the population has become more urban than suburban. It is isolated to the west by the I-5 and Barber Boulevard, the Selwood and Ross Island, and downtown bridges more readily connected with the east side community. Likewise, the downtown area just north of me, which is the first congressional district, is more urban, like the area around the Merriweather condos. It has absolutely no connection to the West Hills communities. The Southwest Downtown and the Northwest Pearl District area apartments and condominiums are more linked across the Willamette than they are to the communities in the West Hills. Burlingame or Pacific Highway, homes down 26. The 405 freeway running north and south isolates them to the west. They travel east on the MAX or the trolley to the south waterfront. Does not make any sense that urban Portland be divided and linked to outlying communities of single-family homes. This, in effect, has created a situation where the concentration of Portland voters in the inner city areas on each side of the Willamette have an overbearing, undue impact on more suburban communities. The interest of Lake Oswego residents, now in CD5, should not be overwhelmed by the interest of the high-rise condominium voters along the Willamette, who have absolutely nothing in common with Lake Oswego. The interest of Multnomah area residents, the Vermont Hills, West Hills residents, should not be overwhelmed by the interest of the high-density voters of downtown Portland area, where there are almost no residential houses. It's only fair that the urban voter not overshadow the suburban voter. I've included a map, which I didn't have time to reprint. I'll cut that last paragraph, that shows how the downtown area, which is divided by the I-5, the 405, and Barber Boulevard, really connects to the east side of the river. It's really very easy to see the connection between those communities. Thank you. I appreciate my time.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for letting me be heard here. I am Maxine Walker. I'm resident of the city of Portland for more than 50 years, which is rather shocking to see that number because those were all voting years. Although I am considered retired, I own and manage rental houses in various areas of the city. One home is located in Southeast Portland in Congressional District 3. Within the past 15 years, I've sold two houses also in Southeast Portland. Although I reside in Southwest Portland in the Collins View area, I have had a great deal of contact in other areas of the city. I also am a part-time election employee on the counting board for Multnomah County. The intent of ORS 188010 is that the legislature is the proper body to perform the task of redistricting every 10 years. This is a crucial task that calls for bipartisan cooperation and must rely on facts and not politics. I thank this committee for their dedication in working toward an agreed plan that can be signed by the governor. My residence is in Congressional District 5, as is a rental home I own approximately 1 mile west in the Burlingame area. Another rental home about 1 mile west of the first rental is on the west side of Highway 99W and is in Congressional District 1. As mentioned in the first paragraph, I also own a rental home in District 3. So I have the distinction of being a taxpayer in three congressional districts, all within the boundaries of the city of Portland. My experience in these three areas is that they are mainly single-family dwellings and should not be considered communities of common interest with the high-density interests of downtown, the Pearl District, and close-in east side. The income levels are similar in the residents of the homes located in Southwest Portland, and the family structures are similar in all three areas. There are also transportation links within these areas, such as Ross Island Bridge and Selwood Bridge. As the boundaries now stand, I question the commonality of the interests of a fisherman in Astoria and a dweller in an urban Portland apartment condominium. It would appear to the average voter that all three congressional districts reach into high-density numbers of urban Portland to favor a political party. This would tend to disenfranchise the voters who reside in rural parts of the state and go against the guidelines of the statute governing redistricting. I would urge this committee on redistricting to work on changing the statute and move the process of redistricting to an independent commission. In making this statement, I do not want to question the integrity of this committee, but merely believe it would be a prudent action for future redistricting. This would this task often falls to the Secretary of State, which would tend to be a little bit more partisan. That concludes my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, panel. Do we have questions from the committee? Co-Chair Lindsay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate your testimony. Thank you for coming here today. We've heard testimony. This is, I can't remember which trip this is, but we've heard testimony. We were in Medford last week in Coos Bay, and we heard testimony to keep Medford together. And before that, we were in Bend specifically, and heard testimony keep Bend together. Specifically, the river does not divide Bend. We heard testimony this morning that that Portland, that a good division is the river, the Willamette River. My assumption is I can look across the river and see right across the river and see some neighborhoods over there. My assumption is that the west side of the river has more in common with that side of the river than with Banks or Vinonia or Warrenton or Astoria. Would you please comment? And
I would agree with that. I think that there are common interests on both sides of the river, and I would like to see less congressional districts within the city of Portland. And because the way they reach into the city now, I believe that is probably maybe was done with some intention on partisanship.
For the record, that was Ms. Walker testifying.
Can I make a comment on that?
We have three
roads, K bridges. You have three roads that go out to the west. How many bridges do you have across the river? You've got a lot more than three.
How many is it, seven or nine?
I've lost track.
Ten.
There are 8 to 10, I believe.
Oh, we really ought to know that.
Yeah, and try going out to the west on a snowy day.
Okay, further questions? All right, thank you, panel.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David Bowe, Jonathan Schluter, and David Jackson, please.
Co-chairs Lindsay and Garrett, and Chair Bonamici, and my Senator Rosenbaum, thank you for this and members, thank you for this opportunity to testify. My name is David Bean, and I'm representing myself, and I hope the interests of the public. I am a veteran. My population, regretfully, is growing, and half of them returning these days are disabled. I would also like to note for the record that our federal government is on the verge of closing down today as a partisan exercise. I also would like to note or mention that my testimony has already been submitted to your website by email, and it's actually quite brief, and it relates to the ordinance under which you're operating that we utilize existing geographic boundaries in helping define communities of interest. I have worked a lot with salmon, and as such I understand the way rain falls that create rivers, that create the natural communities of interest that lived here before our civilization. The Indians named themselves after the rivers. And so the divisions between watersheds, which is my request, is that you recognize that the existing geographic boundaries are actually the divisions between watersheds. And I would like, they are invisible to all but the rain, but the rain knows which side of the hill it's going to go down. Just as a map reader, I'm aware that that has not been utilized very much in the creation of maps, and I would like to recommend using that as a principle in creating your divisions, that many ethnic and other communities of interest would naturally follow. So I would just like, as a mapping principle, that is a very good way and a simple common sense way of creating boundaries. So that's my desire, and I'd just like to thank you for the very hard work, the thankless work, and the important work you're all involved in. I moved to this beautiful state 30 years ago because of the fine politics, and it's worked wonderfully for a while and then degraded. And one of the reasons I would say is because that we have somewhat gerrymandered districts, with districts being basically auctionable units for where no good dialogue is taking place. And so this principle, I think, will help have less safe seats but more vital dialogue. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Schluter.
Chairman Garrett, members of the House and Senate committees, for the record, my name is Jonathan Schluter. I'm the Executive Director of Westside Economic Alliance. I've had the good fortune in 37 years as an Oregon resident of graduating from Pacific University in Senator Starr's district, living for 13 years in Senator Burdick's district, currently residing for the last 17 years in Representative Reed's district. So I count myself as a Westsider. The economic and demographic indicators that I'm offering to the committee for your consideration here today is an attempt by our organization representing the employers, developers, property managers, and the communities on the west side of the Portland metro region in Washington and western Clackamas counties to measure the growth of our population and the economy of the west side. From that, to put it in some perspective, the population of Washington County will grow by about the number of people here over my right shoulder since you met at Portland Community College's Rock Creek campus this morning. And the population of Clackamas County will grow by about as many people as over my left shoulder by the time you convene there tomorrow afternoon. That is the kind of growth that we're talking about in the Portland metro region. We can be very proud of the fact that Washington County is the fastest growing county in its population in all of Oregon's 36 counties numerically, not as a percentage basis, but numerically. And that represents good opportunities, but also some considerable challenges. Much of my work is in land use and in transportation and economic development activities. So I'm out over my skis here when we start talking about population census and demographics. I'm not a statistician. But I want to point out to the committee for your consideration as you take up these issues that according to the latest census data provided by the U.S. Census Bureau, the population of both Washington County and Clackamas County on April 1st of 2010 is lower than the same agency was reporting on July 1st of 2008. How is it possible that the fastest growing counties in the state of Oregon for the past 150 years of consistent unbroken growth have actually declined in the last 2 years according to the U.S. Census data? It's a crapshoot. It's all statistical. We understand that, you know, it's a guess, but the point is that while the midterm census results are a guesstimate, and the 2010 10-year data is supposed to be more accurate, more credible, more durable, the point is that the population of both of Washington and Clackamas County has gone down by the same census data, while the population of Multnomah County has increased rather considerably. And that has implications well beyond this metropolitan region, but for the entire state. And the representation of our House and Senate members. So I would ask you to talk with those who know statistics better than I to clarify what it is that has gone into that, whether you have the confidence in this statistical data, because at the end of the day, we're going to have to live with these results for the next 10 years and your decisions. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Mr. Jackson?
First of all, I'm appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, Chairman Garrett, and the members of the Senate and House Committee.
I need your name for the record, please.
I'm David Jackson.
Okay.
I'm a resident of Southwest Portland and will have lived at 10141 Southwest 55th Avenue for 35 years as of May 15th. I live in District 35. I agreed to testify something at the last minute and was not aware of the three-minute limitation. So what I will do, I've got several pages that I will submit, and hopefully they'll make some sense. What I'll do here is just hit the high points. My testimony will focus on how transportation issues relate to defining communities of interest and how current House district boundaries fragment these transportation corridors, and I'm going to focus on transportation. This is a long developed neighborhood. My house was built in the early 50s. It's a very good neighborhood. It has some unusual features, which I won't go into. You can learn of those later. One of the main ones is that it is divided by I-5, right down, pretty much down the middle. Transportation is a real problem in this section of town. The streets are heavily traveled and not designed for their current level of use. The main transportation routes in my neighborhood are Southwest Taylor's Ferry, Southwest 49th Barber, Pacific Highway, and Capitol Highway. There is also, of course, the I-5 corridor, but I won't focus on that. The areas of concern are four. First, Southwest Taylor's Ferry, west from Capitol Highway. Currently, this street is split between two different house districts. The streets The street is used as a major corridor to the freeway ramps of Capitol Highway on the east and a major route to the Washington Square area of the west. Because the street is a boundary between House Districts 35 and 36, there is no single advocate in the House for neighbors who share common problems of non-existent sidewalks, pedestrian, and bicycle safety, lack of crosswalks, and heavy speeding vehicles. The freeway ramps adjacent to Capitol and Barber are badly designed traffic disasters that will also need to be fixed. Recommendation: realign House district boundaries so that both the north and south sides of Taylor's Ferry are in House District 35 in Multnomah County to reflect the district boundaries in Washington County. This way, one House district will encompass the entire corridor. The second area of concern is Southwest 49th and 45th.
Mr. Jackson, our 3 minutes is up, so would you mind submitting your written testimony to the committee?
I'll be happy to do that.
Okay, thank you. And this would be a good time to remind everyone that we can receive your written comments by email at oregon.redistricting@state.or.us. So if you, it's at the top of the handout that you received coming in. So if you don't have a chance to give complete testimony today, don't despair. The record remains open for your comments throughout our process. So thank you, three of you. Do we have any questions from the committee? Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Schlieder, thank you for your testimony. Over my time in the legislature, certainly enjoyed and benefited from Westside Economic Alliance's work. I'm curious if you could make some general comments about the economic ties across the region. It's been my sense, I'd be happy to have you confirm or correct this, that where people work and live in this region is highly fluid and people are crossing that throughout. So I'd love to hear what you have learned about that.
Representative Garrett, Representative Reed, Jonathan Schlieder for the record. Ours is a very unique metropolitan region in that we have a reverse commute in the morning where more people actually go to Washington County to find work than live there and work in the same community. I don't think that I can point to any county in a major metropolitan area in the United States where that's the case. People actually flee the city to go and find work in what has been the suburbs, but now are the fifth and sixth largest cities in the state of Oregon in that regard. We're glad they do because we have to have their talent and their considerable abilities to run the companies that we're talking about. And the reward to you is that 48 cents of every tax dollar that is collected by our Department of Revenue to run the state of Oregon is generated by job and a payroll in the Portland metro region, these three counties. So for the communities of Almsville and neighboring counties of the state of Oregon, you know, the public education that's made in Pendleton or the public safety that's available in Burns or health care that's served in Almsville would be paid for and possible because of the economic strength of the Portland metro region. It's important for people to get to work in the morning and their products to the distribution points and the customers in the afternoon. So it is a very unique regard, but we don't regulate or restrict where people live relative to where they find their work. And often when we change our jobs, we do not change our homes or domicile. We don't give up our friends. We don't give up our schools. We don't give up our churches. We live where we choose and work where we can.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Lindsay.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Schlueter, first of all, I'd just like to thank you for your voice. I think that you have a great voice, and it would be awesome on the radio. Nice and deep and strong. Yeah. It livens my day, so thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And going to Mr. B, I think, I want to thank you for your testimony, especially on the safe districts. And I've mentioned this statistic before, but just to repeat it here in this venue, in 2006, 38%, we're talking nationwide, 38% of state, Senate, and House districts went unchallenged, meaning that 30% of the time, either a Republican or Democrat did not even draw an opponent. Mm. And in that same year, 2006, 86% of federal races, congressional races, were won by double-digit margins, meaning political scientists consider that a safe win. And so I would agree with you that we need to, hopefully in this process, this is a fine needle to thread, But hopefully in this process we can create good competitive districts where we have hearty and healthy debate and where there's true competition.
Thank you. I hope so too.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jonathan, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you said something about the reverse commute, and I've heard that before, and I've experienced it because I frequently go back and forth between the Portland area and Washington County. There's also a transportation route along Barnes-Burnside and Cornell, however. Mm-hmm. So we have the three links just that I know of offhand in to connecting that part of Multnomah County and Washington County. But what I wanted to do, that was kind of a follow-up to the question before, but I wanted to ask you, I'm a little bit concerned about what you said about the numbers. This handout that you gave us, these are July 2009 numbers?
To illustrate the point.
To illustrate the point. And then you're saying that the Clackamas and Washington County numbers are actually have actually decreased the census? Because we are, my council who's co-chairing, actually both councils who are co-chairing know that that can confirm that we have to use the U.S. Census numbers. So are you suggesting that we follow up on that to make sure that they're accurate? I'm a little concerned if you're questioning that maybe we should do something to look into it. What's your advice?
Chair Garrett and co-chair Bonamici, for the record, Jonathan Schleter. Yes, I deliberately use the old numbers from the U.S. Census Bureau because, first of all, it's a higher figure, and I think it's a more impressive figure. But secondly, it illustrates the contrast between the April 1st, 2010 U.S. Census 10-year data and the prevailing number that I've chosen to use there in that. The difference is of about 8,000 people between the 2010 data and the 2009 data that's shown before you in that table. The question is, what happened there? What went into that? And since I'm not a statistician, I'm not a demographer, I don't know the answer to that. And I'm asking you as representatives and senators with considerable more vested interest in the outcome of that question than I, whether you're comfortable with the contrast and apparent contradiction, and whether or not you're living with the results of that for the next 10 years in the redistricting of Washington County and the West Side jurisdictions.
And can I ask a follow-up, Mr. Co-Chair? You're talking about 8,000 people. Is that between the the three counties, 8,000 total?
Chair Garrett, Co-Chair Bonamici, Jonathan Schleter. No, that is just Washington County's numbers.
Washington.
And I'm sorry, I can't recite those for Clackamas County by 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, perhaps.
Thank you very much.
And thank you.
All right, thank you. Panel? Senator Burdick, I have you on the list with two others, Liz Newton and Gretchen Buehner.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the redistricting committees. For the record, my name is Jenny Burdick, and I represent the people of Senate District 18, which comprises House District 35 and 36. My purpose, first of all, I wanted to say how impressed I am by the activities of this committee, getting around the state, being an evenly divided committee, and to just encourage you on in your efforts, because if you achieve this, it will be a real legislative miracle, and I'd love to see legislative miracles. So with that, my reason for coming is mainly to introduce my people in my district who represent the city of Tigard, and they'll introduce themselves when it's time to speak. My reason for coming is I have one of those districts that you might look at and you'd say, wait a minute, here's downtown Portland, here's southwest Portland, and here's Tigard. And you might look at a district like that and say, well, maybe we should take another look at this. I'm here to tell you how much sense this district makes. And even I, when it was first configured, back in 2001, I had those same questions.
and very quickly learned that we have communities of interest, we have natural boundaries in this district, and we it functions very, very well as a district, even though it comprises two counties and parts of actually three municipalities, because King City is in there as well. And so I just wanted to bring to your attention this district. I know it's not the only district in the state, but it's a very interesting case study. And the people I've worked with in Tigard, I happen to live in House District 36, and the people with me today represent House District 35, which is the Tigard part of it. And it's been a very beneficial relationship, and I just wanted to have them share with you some of their perceptions. So I will stop talking and let them give you the facts.
Good afternoon, Chair Garrett. My name is Gretchen Beener. I am the council president for the Tigard City Council. I'm an attorney in the other world, and I've actually worked in Salem as a legislative assistant in the past, as well as being a census and reapportionment junkie in past census. Before I start, I'll add one little answer to the gentleman's question about King City from earlier, and that is I lived in that area at the time. King City had requested to be in the same legislative district as Tigard because there were a lot of continuity of interest. Unfortunately, the Secretary of State made a boo-boo with respect to the boundaries of the city, and that's how part of King City ended up not in the district and in the other district. And he admitted he made it, you know, things happen. So, with that, the real issue for us, we have had a wonderful relationship with Senator Burdick, is that we want to keep our community as a whole. And we have a tremendous amount of relationship with Southwest Portland, in that Barbara Boulevard coming out from downtown is 99W, which is the main street going through Tigard. We are looking at transportation issues. We're doing a high-capacity transit study at this point, possibly leading to light rail at some point in the future. We have a number of corridors that run from Tigard through Southwest Portland, through Senator Burdick's other half of her district. There are links, as I said, transportation, communication. Most of our citizens may work in that other area, or they live in Southwest Portland and they work in our community. Our community is by far a income-producing community, in terms that our nighttime population is about 48,000, our daytime population is about 100,000. So people come to Tigard to work. And our neighborhood association system sets up an expectation that residents will continue to be involved both within the city of Tigard and within this corridor that we were mentioning. Go ahead.
Members of the committee, I'm Liz Newton. I'm the assistant city manager for the city of Tigard. I have been a Tigard employee for 30 years. I started as a land use planner, and I only mention that by way of noting when the new district was created in 2001, we all thought it was a little odd as well, but it did put the city of Tigard in one Senate and House district each. And that made a big difference in the ability of our council members and our staff people who are not full-time, our council people are not full-time counselors, to develop a really good relationship with one representative and one senator. Our mayor and city manager and I go down and visit with our senator and representative once a month during the session. We invite them to our city council meetings during the session and outside the session. We are able to work on a number of issues together with our regional partners, and we have one voice at the state. It's made a big difference for our council and our residents to have that one voice. The other comment I would make is, in the 30 years that I've worked with the city, the biggest issue that people have about Tigard is transportation and congestion. The biggest problem is Pacific Highway, which on one hand, it's a good thing because it goes through the city. It also divides the city. So looking at Pacific Highway, Barber Boulevard, that goes through Tigard and goes into downtown Portland, is really critical for us. It's one of our major issues. We were successful recently with Metro in getting that as identified as the next area for high capacity transit study. So in our opinion, it's critical that we stay connected to that part of Portland because the traffic doesn't know where Portland ends and Tigard and starts. And a lot of our citizens, although they go to parts of Washington County, down to Wilsonville, Salem to work, still the highest percentage commutes into Portland via I-5 or Pacific Highway every day. So those are pretty critical issues for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Senator Telfer.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Ms. Newton, I think I heard you right in saying that you appreciated keeping cities whole so that you had
Correct.
One senator, one representative. Could you give me your idea on what you think it would do if you had two representatives representing the city and the city may even had two senators? How that interaction would be and how your working relationship would be?
Well, I know there are cities that are divided just because they're too big. You know, there are large cities like Portland that can't be represented by one senator. Because of Tigard being split anyway by the highway, when Tigard was unified with one senator and one representative, it allowed us to address the issues that we had as one community. So we were able to take community-wide issues forward to the state level. So I think it's made a big difference in that regard.
Senator Starr.
Thank you. And this to the two ladies from Tigard. Can you tell me the school district that the school kids that live in Tigard go to?
The school kids in Tigard go to three different schools. Most of them are in the Tigard-Tualatin School District.
Could you state your name for the record,
please? Oh, Gretchen Beener.
Thanks.
Sorry. We have two high schools, and about 20% of the kids in Tigard go to Tualatin High School because Tigard High School is overcrowded. And then a portion of Beaverton School District comes into the northern part of the city of Tigard. It relates to old history from before the area urbanized, and they go to Beaverton High School.
Liz Newton. It's actually two school districts. Tigard-Tualatin are in the same school district, and there is a portion of Beaverton School District in the city of Tigard. The school district boundaries go back to the early 1900s, and the city boundaries go back to the 1960s, so those were in existence.
So it's primarily, though, it's the Tigard-Tualatin School
Correct.
District where Tigard children go to school primarily.
Correct.
Thank you.
Further questions? All right. Thank you, panel.
Thank you.
I think we have about six people left, so why don't we bring up Tom Karuski, Maria Baker, and Mark White.
Good afternoon. My name is Tom Karwaki. I live in the 44th House District, and I'm biracial, so I think that would be another area that you may want to consider as well when you look at the minority settings. Not everyone has a single racial identity. Several things that we're looking at in terms of the 44th is that you look at community of interest, and I work on this part of the St. John's Main Street Coalition. And we've looked at the economic studies, and what we found is that much of our target market or our actual trading market actually extends to Salvia Island and Linton. And historically, Linton has also been part of the district that was in the peninsula. So that we would recommend that since the 44th has to pick up some people, that you might explore crossing and into a community that has historically always worked in the port and dealt with those issues. That's directly on the other side of the St. John Bridge. Going further to Savi Island would reduce, you could actually get rid of the 44th all the way from I-5 to the east and knock that off and give it to the 43rd, which has to pick up people as well as a possibility. Essentially, you've got a district that's looking like a dumbbell or a barbell, and all the population is primarily on one side, but there's been some talk of us picking up people in Cully and more so, and they really have a difference of a community of interest. There's not as much of a community of interest. In addition to that, you do have, however, one idea if you did go beyond on Marine Avenue to the east. Further on the 44th, you would end up having all the houseboats in Multnomah County in one district. However, you do have the port of Portland has most of their facilities in the 44th. So the 44th currently has the airport, and it has Swan Island, and it has the main port facilities. So to some extent, if there's a community of interest, the port might be a consideration in that regard as well.
Hello, my name is Maria Baker. I live in North Portland, actually Northeast Portland, and I'd like to talk on behalf of House District 43. I know that historically House District 43 is predominantly an African-American community, and I think when we're talking about redistricting, I think it's very important that we continue to keep that as predominantly African-American. I can't give you any suggestions about how to do that because in looking at this, it's going to be quite difficult. So I'm just offering that suggestion, but thank you.
Hello, my name is Mark White. I'm president of the Palhurst Gilbert Neighborhood Association, and I'm here just to give you a little bit of information about my neighborhood. We're part of House District 48, and it also encompasses Happy Valley. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Happy Valley, but my neighborhood is probably the single most poorest neighborhood in the city of Portland. It represents about 5% of the total population of the city. We have tremendous amounts of different cultures. The high school, David Douglas High School, has 76 different languages spoken. That's a direct reflection of the demographic within our neighborhood. There's not a single major street within my neighborhood that has contiguous sidewalks, not one. And there's approximately 30,000 people in my neighborhood, and I have probably well over 10,000 children. The level of poverty is so pronounced. To give you an example, I have a middle school, Ron Russell Middle School, that has close to 900 children. 753 of them qualify for free or reduced lunch. I have kids that are fed before they go home because they won't get fed at home. I have kids who have food packed in their lunch packs while they're out in the play yard because there won't be any food at home. So what I'm trying to tell you is we have nothing in common with Happy Valley. Absolutely nothing. In addition to that, there's no transportation to get, no public transportation to get from my neighborhood to Happy Valley. So I would beg you, absolutely beg you, to think of the county line as the place to draw the border. I could probably go on at length of why it's important, and I'll give you an example of the how it's separated, because we're not in District 47, but people in my neighborhood work with Jefferson Smith on max issues that aren't even in our neighborhood. He's connected more to our neighborhood than Representative Schaffler, and I have a very distinct feeling that's because he's based in Happy Valley. You know, it's nothing on him, but that's where he's based, that's where his base is, and we don't vote at the same level as a lot of folks. In fact, I believe our area has the lowest voter turnout probably in the entire state of Oregon. And I think a lot of that is language-based, it's education, it's poverty, it's a lot of things. So I really hope that you will take that into consideration. And I would suggest the Palhurst-Gilbert neighborhood, the Lentz neighborhood, and the Pleasant Valley neighborhoods as one district. That'll probably come close to 60,000. And they all have quite a bit in common. And I wish the Apano folks were still here because I have a huge Asian population in our neighborhood, along with all the others. So, thank you.
Very helpful. Thank you. Questions from the committee? Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. White, you said you have 10,000 children. Are they all yours?
No, I have.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. I wanted you to just describe, I missed what you called your neighborhood association.
It's the Powellhurst-Gilbert Neighborhood Association.
Sorry, say that again.
Powellhurst, P-O-W-E-L-L. H-U-R-S-T hyphen Gilbert, G-I-L-B-E-R-T.
And then you said Gilbert, Lentz, and then there was one other?
Pleasant Valley. Pleasant Valley is in between our neighborhood and Happy Valley.
Got it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Further questions? Okay, thank you, all three of you, very much. And I have three more people on the list who've signed up. They are Brendan Monahan, Alex Opsall, and Jim Robeson.
I am Alexander Opsall, a native Oregonian and 22-year resident of the city of Portland, and it's a pleasure to be here in front of all you right now. Thank you for having me. Well, I just wanted to speak kind of on the issue of federal districting within the metropolitan area, and specifically on the lines of communities of interest. Sorry, I think that I've lived through five elections in the last 10 years while the current plan has been in place, and I just do not see why it is that the city of Portland, which I categorize as an urban area, is broken down into three congressional districts. When talking about these communities of interest, I think it's fair to say, generally speaking, because, with the federal level, we only have five districts to come up with versus 60 for the House. And so, it's really easy and a lot easier to take them down to the micro level on the House, the state House versus the federal level. I really respect the job that you guys do on that, because you've got so many different moving parts that you have to deal with in order to create these five congressional districts. But the city of Portland, I classify as urban, and so I do not see why what they would have in common with rural areas out in Washington County, coastal areas out in Clatsop County, etc. And not to divide these common communities of common interest. I really respect what you said, Senator Lindsey, when you said, when you were talking about, we have so much more in common with people on the east side than we do out in the farm valleys of Yamhill County and Washington County. I spent 5 years up in Seattle, Washington, and talking about traffic channels. The Bainbridge Island, I had some friends who lived there where you can only get to there by a ferry versus east and west side of Portland. We have 10 different bridges that we can cross. And considering that, taking the total population of the city of Oregon, roughly 583,000 people now, when the target district is about roughly 766,000, I'd recommend you take into consideration building a district around the city of Portland, or at least taking the parts of District 1 and District 3 that are currently, northwest, southwest Portland, put those in District 3, where they, I think, have more common interests with that community than they do with the other areas of those two districts. Thank you.
Am I speaking? Okay. My name is Brendan Monahan. I am a graduate student here at Portland State. I live and vote in Lake Oswego. I am a graduate of The Ohio State University in political science for my undergraduate program. And I have written testimony that may please the members of that committee. And I am testifying by myself and on my own behalf. There's an old historical saying that all roads lead to Rome. We Oregonians know that this phrase is all too true of Portland. Nearly every aspect of our lives in this state is dictated, at least in some way, by the people who live and work in Portland. Economic, social, cultural, and political. Need proof? Look over at the legislative districts from the past decade, and you'll see that Portlandius Prime is the star around which all of the plausibly contiguous metro area districts rotate. I'm familiar with both the judicial requirements handed down by the Supreme Court by Baker v. Carr and related cases, which set our single-member district electoral system in stone, as well as Oregon's statutory requirements relevant to that. I'm also keenly aware that certain state legislators and secretaries of state, not just in this state but in others, Ohio being one of them as well, know creative avenues around these statutes to bulk up their own partisan advantage. Gerrymandering, as we all know, after all, is as American as apple pie. Oregon statute, after all, requires districts be based off of communities of interest. Now, there is a plausible case, I will concede, to tether communities like Beaverton, Tigard, to my own district in Lake Oswego to Portland legislatively. But is there a genuine interest, aside from a purely and brazenly partisan one, in drawing House District 31, Portland, to Astoria? Perhaps to give weary campaign volunteers from North Portland a day at the beach after a hard day's work of canvassing. Although, why can't they come from Seaside? It doesn't have to be this way, nor has this always been the case. By hook or by crook, I know not which way it was done, Oregon's legislature, secretary of state, and or governor succeeded 20 years ago in drawing districts that respected county lines and maintained communities of commonality. Most importantly, they did not follow a stated laudable goal of bringing a diversity of people together so they could produce the observable and cynical effect of reducing the diversity of views in the legislature. Spillover occurred then and is inevitable now, I understand that, but not to the extent currently seen by which legislative districts and voters are cracked suburban in suburban areas and packed with Portland's reliably partisan urban core. Finally, I realize the current political situation in Salem, as well as the rules of the redistricting game. Now, not to pick on one party in particular, just the circumstances of which that is comprised, there is one party that has no incentive to cooperate as long as they have an ally in the Secretary of State's office to draw the districts for them and ultimately protect their jobs. But consider this. In the last election, 2010, Democrats won 51% of the congressional vote and swept up 80% of the seats. That's thanks in large part to Portland's voters in not one, not two, but three districts. Republicans and Democrats in the state legislature, I would urge, should pursue a bipartisan solution that serves all of Oregon's voters, not just 31 or 17 of their own team's members. Thank you.
Mr. Robison.
My name is Jim Robison. I'm a resident of North Portland, the St. John's area. I've been a homeowner there for 22 years, and I've gotten to know a lot of the people in the St. John's area and the communities that are involved there. The one issue that I want to focus on today is simply looking at communities of interest. What are the communities that connect to North Portland? In dealing with a lot of the work in North Portland, I have volunteered to serve on the Main Street Coalition, which is meeting right now. And that coalition was mentioned earlier by Tom Karwacki as far as the connections that the market makes to areas in northwestern Multnomah County, Savvy Island, and also the areas that connect into there for St. John's. I also serve as the chair of the Portland Harbor Community Advisory Group, and that is the community group that is overseeing the Superfund cleanup of the Willamette River in the northern stretch of the river. As chair of the Portland Harbor Community Advisory Group, I work with people that are involved on both sides of the river. Now, we often think of the river as a logical dividing line, but in this section of North Portland, the river really makes more of a connecting issue for us, because a lot of people that are in Linton area and other areas around northwest Portland, the northwest Multnomah County, Forest Hills area, those are people who are very involved with the Superfund issues along the Willamette River. As a community of interest, then that makes sense. Savvy Island also is directly affected by that. Now, in my involvement with businesses in the St. John's area, I've seen how much of their business comes from people that are around that northwestern section of Multnomah County, the Linton area and Savvy Island. And I'll mention, just because Representative Garrett is here, that a friend of his happens to be one of the owners of the St. John's booksellers. And so I know them quite well, and they, of course, have clients who come in from the west side of the river, from Forest Park area, Northwest Hills, and from Savi Island. So I wanted to be sure to make that connection, that those areas are actually more unified than what you might see if you try to connect some of the other areas. The people in St. John's are very closely associated with the people in Linton, and it would make sense to put those together. In fact, those areas were together in districts prior to the redistricting 10 years ago. Now, that said, one thing I do want to keep in mind, want you to bear in mind, is that it would also be good to, as much as possible, keep districts intact, keep district boundaries the way that they are in terms of not making radical changes to the boundaries, but really just making adjustments as necessary to adjust for population.
I have a question for you, Mr. Yep. Robinson. If we were to do that, I've been looking at the map, I've been thinking about that possibility of bringing District 44 across the river to unite it with Linton. Mm-hmm. And how far north would you say that community of interest extends? And I ask because in partial response to Mr. Monahan, I think Representative Witt would tell you that District 31 actually makes a great deal of sense as a Columbia River district, mm-hmm. and that those people along the river identify themselves as a river district. And so how far would you suggest that we consider going north in a St. John's Linton district?
Yeah, are you familiar with where the Burlington area is?
I think so.
Burlington is kind of a breaking point because, to me, is north of the Burlington area seems to be more closely associated with the Scappoose area, and south of Burlington seems to be more associated with North Portland and Northwest Portland area. Because Savi Island also, of course, the bridge, where the Savi Island bridge is, connects in, is still closer to Portland. So even though Savi Island has both Multnomah and Columbia counties and is, because of that, also has good association with the area that Representative Witt represents, the Savi Island also has a lot of their business practices and commerce is connected with St. John's area.
Further questions? Okay, I think we have no more questions for this panel. Thank you. I want to ask if anyone else has arrived who didn't get a chance to sign up but who would like to testify today. Do we have... Okay. Yeah, all right. Thank you all very much again for coming. I want to remind everybody that we will continue to receive information, and you can also go to our website to obtain information as this process goes forward. The web address, again, for your information is, the email address is oregon.redistricting@state.or.us, and the best way to locate us is to Google Oregon Redistricting, and that will take you to our website. So with that, I will once again thank all those who came and testified. This is a vital part of our process. And we'll be at Mount Hood Community College in Gresham tomorrow morning and at Oregon City in the afternoon. So with that, I will adjourn the House Committee on Redistricting.
On behalf of the Senate Committee on Redistricting, thank you to everyone who is here today. Adjourning the Senate Committee on Redistricting.